on 97.5 and 102.5 FM, DAB, and online at pulse1.co.uk. This is the Robbie Hunter Pool Show on Pulse One. With Provident, lending a helping hand since 1880. Visit provident.co.uk.
Kia ora and g'day, this is the Robbie Hunter Pool Show and we're covering all of the hottest topics from the world of rugby league for the next hour. In the studio tonight, we have the Earl of Rugby League, Leon Price.
Yo.
And he's alongside the little general himself, Lucky Luke Robinson. G'day, Luke.
G'day, Robert.
Mate, you can't even say a g'day properly.
Nah, I'm not saying it. I'm Yorkshire,
you said
mate.
Good day.
Good day. Good day, mate. I don't say good day or struth or all that palaver.
Yeah, it's getting better.
I just stick to pal, mate.
Mate, I don't say it like an Aussie. You just sound like an Aussie. Anyway, we have been running a week-long competition to win a Freak of Nature hoodie from Leon's personal collection, and tonight on the show we will be picking a winner. That's later on in the show. We are also starting our new competition, and this time it is to pick up a Bradford Bulls Summer Bash Oddballs charity shirt. Now, just to explain that a little bit better, the Summer Bash is the championship's version of the Magic Weekend, where every single game across the championship is played in one stadium. Now, that is launched, it was launched today. You'll be able to win one of those fantastic Oddball, fabulously designed shirts. If you go now to the Bradford Bulls website, you can find out how you can get on one of these shirts if you want to buy it. Or you can go to the Pulse One website at pulse1.co.uk and click on the win tab. And I think actually we're going to be doing it over the next 10 minutes. In about 15 minutes, we'll be able to, see how you can enter that competition. And we'll also be hearing from a segment of the advert that the Bulls have put together a little later on in the show. And this is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show.
The Robbie Hunter Pool Show. News and views.
Tell you what, I was running out of breath there.
I know, I'm going to say breathe, Robbie, breathe. Man. Just get your words out.
It's overrated, isn't it?
Not as fair anymore, is it?
So let's go straight into the rugby league. Leon, you back this week?
No.
Let's sidestep every element of the Bradford Bulls this weekend because I'm trying to avoid any discussion around the Jimmy Lowe's aspect. I've kind of just anchored straight into it, haven't
Listen,
I?
Listen, I think we should let the list here on a bit of a secret. We get a script throughout the week on WhatsApps, you know, talking about the current situation, the current affairs of rugby league, of the rugby league world news, hot off the press topics, and so on and so on, so we can come on here and not talk too much garbage. But Robbie's tried to sidestep the fact that Jimmy Lowe's has and in his resignation, so that he don't get under the pump tonight. But Robbo's not letting him off, eh, Robbo?
No, I was just looking. I'm looking at the script, thinking, surely we're going to talk about the Bradford coach leaving. Oh, did he leave this week? I thought it was last week. All right, we might discuss it.
Robert, has he gone? Has he gone? Did he go? I didn't know that.
Well, the rumour I've been told is you used to have put your neck forward for the actual coaching job itself.
Well, actually, I were at the Bulls yesterday. I'm not telling you for what reason. And
you were getting your learn on. Level 2 in sales. Masterclass.
Not like a good rumour, is there?
They always start. No, well, the actual fact, you know, we put out the information out yesterday. Jimmy Lowe's done a fantastic job. He is at Bradford Bulls. Absolute Bradford Bulls legend, and you know, for personal reasons that I'm not going to go into any detail with, he's decided to step away from the club, and that's his prerogative. He keeps his own counsel, and I think we should respect that as well.
I always think it's really dangerous as a club legend going back to coach your own club. Mm-hmm. Do you know? Mm-hmm. You understand what I mean? It's like Kieran Cunningham. He's got a statue outside. I mean, what's he going to be like? He's going to be like the Russian Revolution. They're going to be chopping it down, and people are going to be cutting it down and chopping his head off if he gets sacked.
Do you think if you are a club legend, the expectation on you is so much more?
I think that you get maybe given a little bit more leniency, in my opinion. I think with Kieran Cunningham's case, he's under pressure at Saints. I know the fans weren't happy, and I played with Kes, so I'm mates with him, but it's like I say, it makes things pretty awkward when you've got a statue outside the stadium of you and you're the coach and the fans are beginning to be a bit unsettled with you, really. It's a bit awkward, I think.
So what's the way forward then?
Don't go back to your old club, but you're a legend at. but it's really hard not to. Obviously, you have an affinity with the club. You generally love the club, don't you? You have good memories there, won things. You know, you want to go back and you want to progress them as a coach as you did a player. But, you know, I don't know the ins and outs of Jimmy and everything that's gone on at Bradford. I know there's a lot of expectation at Bradford, let's be fair. Mm-hmm. They're a massive club who are deemed to be in the Super League. They think their spot is in the Super League. So there's obviously, whoever takes over the Bradford mantle is going to be under pressure. You know, and it's a sport that's driven by results. And at the end of the day, if you're not winning on a regular basis, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter who you are. you're either going to get, you either got to push or you got to be jump or you got to jump.
Leon.
What do you talk about is Robbie, you know more than me. What are you asking my opinion for? Don't push on to me. You know more, Robbie. You talk.
Well, I like the way you talk. I mean, part of it for me is if you go back as a legend of the club, you know, and looking at as a legend of the game also, did that not put a little bit more expectation on you? Probably does, because it's whether or not you can transfer those skills as a player into being a coach. And I think that's the toughest element of
but
it.
But I think the toughest element is a lot of the times when you've been a legend player, it doesn't transfer over to being a brilliant coach.
Not naturally, no.
And so a lot of people expect you to be a really, because you've been a good player, i.e., you know, Yellery and Liz and what have you. Don't always make them a better coach, but I think it buys them a little bit more time. If you're unheard of and you've never played the game before and you're going to coaching, you don't get much time, I don't think, to be a success.
I don't think there's been many people within the world of rugby, even in the world of sport, that have been icons, have actually been really good coaches. For example, Pelé, Maradona. I don't know if it's that brilliance, that sort of natural brilliance.
Individual.
I think it's really hard to tell a kid. You know, like, I can imagine my Maradona going, well, just chip it over his head, run around 10 people and put him back in net. Because yeah. That's what he did. But it's not that easy.
Yeah,
you know?
I think you're right there. There's an element of those greats of the game, those guys that have legendary status, they view the game differently from your average player. And the reality is, at that highest level, a lot of the players are average compared to those greats. And unless you can make the transfer of understanding what it's like to be one of those average players, I think you have to kind of go back to square one with it, don't you? You have to go, I've got to relearn my trade. I've got to understand it, how the game unfolds through the eyes of the players that are lesser, not so great, because I already understand it, the great players. And generally also with the great players also comes a big personality. Big egos is because there's a reason why they got to that point, because they drove themselves so high.
A lot of the great coaches in the NRL, if you look like Maguire and them, have all been really good players, but not brilliant. And they're like, going back to your point, they've had to actually think about the game. So they've had to think about, you know, it's more than anything else, is they worked hard. If you look at a lot of the best coaches, they all had a really, really good work ethic. But not only that, like you said, because it didn't come natural to them, they had to think, how do I drop the ball when it hits my foot? You know, how do I make that tackle technique? How do I run on that line that comes natural to certain players? That ball running ability, you know, they had to think about the game. So I think that, you know, I think that hard work and that thought process, it goes a long way of making a good coach.
It's not only that, it's also the gifts that mummy and daddy gave you. You know, that mix of genes that made your muscle denser, your agility, your centre of gravity, the ability to keep your balance, you know, in awkward positions, that allowed you to be a great of the sport. I remember me and Henry getting into this conversation, because I always rate Henry as the greatest player I ever played against or alongside of. And the reason that for that is because when we played international footy, he was able to take his game to a whole nother level. But at the same time, Henry said, I always wanted to be a coach. And I said, well, one thing you always have to do is remember, not everyone thinks like you do. I used to understand Henry very intimately when we played the game of rugby league. He used to get frustrated with guys around him. And I said, mate, you need to understand that because you can see an opportunity and you can step off and you've got that power to push through the line, not everybody can do that. And you need to understand that if they don't read the game as you do, they're not always going to get with you all the time. They're not always going to take that opportunity. I remember when I played alongside him, I knew how to read Henry. I knew when his body language went into a certain type of tension, I knew he saw something. And I'd just start heading up the field. When with the 3 years that we played together at the Bradford Bulls, he did 70% of everything that I did well. I just backed him up, scored the try. So,
right. So we've determined that you two are world class, amazing players. Okay, let's get back to what we were talking about.
I thought we were reading off his autobiography there.
All right.
So
the Robbie Paul brothers were amazing. We already know that.
So
let's get
I've
back to current news.
The
Paul brothers. So let's get back to current news. At the end of the day, I'm a Bradford lad, I'm a Bradford fan, and you know, I love the club. What we've got to talk about is that the current situation with the team is, listen, we all know the team's full-time paid, and we're playing in a league where they should be dominating that league. And with that's become the pressure, and it's become probably a bit too much pressure for Jimmy with the recent results, losing to Batley, losing to Sheffield in the manner that they did. Lee are looking strong. And at the end of the day, the pressure's become a little bit too much. And Jim is a good friend of mine and a legend of the club and will always be a legend of the Bradford Bulls. And I just like to say I wish him well in his future venture.
Well, I think we all wish him well. the flip side of that, because I'm a points half fill type of guy, it means that now the club has to review and have a look at how they can use his, you know, stepping aside as an opportunity to go in another direction now, to take it to another level. And I think that's what we're doing at the board. We're leaving no stone unturned, and we're very keen, very hungry to make sure that we move the club another step forward, because Jimmy did a fantastic job, took us within a whisker of getting promoted back to the Super League in the £1 million game against Wakefield last year. So the opportunity's there again. Full-time team, like you said, a lot of the talent's coming back from the injury list that we've had. Like all other teams, we've had a lot of injuries, and the opportunity's there now to kick on and go on to strength to strength. So I'm looking forward to the next period in the Bradford Bulls future, because it's exciting times if you look at it in that respect. Points are full for me. Anyway, up next we'll discuss the biggest upset in recent Challenge Cup history. So stay with us here on the Robbie Hunter Paul Show.
It's all about rugby. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse 1.
Hey, 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 it's RHP here, chatting nothing but rugby league every week right here for your entertainment. Over the next week, we'll be running a competition to pick up a Bradford Bulls Summer Bash Oddballs charity shirt. And you can go to the Pulse One website at pulse1.co.uk and click on the Win tab and find out how you can be in the draw to win that prize. Absolutely fabulous, over the top shirt, but that's exactly what Oddballs, great charity idea, isn't it, guys?
I think it's brilliant. I think it's brilliant. I think a fair few teams have jumped on this idea, aren't they, of affiliating themselves with a charity.
No, we're the first professional team.
All right, yeah. Well, I think
individuals have.
I think I've seen Lee do it as well about a month ago.
not Oddballs.
Not Oddballs, no. Look, Oddballs are a brilliant charity. I've done... You know what? Oh, no, yesterday's out, undies. Right. I had Oddball undies on yesterday.
I thought you were checking your thing is then. Coconuts.
Live.
Oddballs, give us
the same size.
For those of you that are listening and don't know exactly what Oddballs is, they're a charity that publicises and helps to try and break down the stigma around testicular cancer, and that's the focus of it at this point in time. And they've utilised both rugby league and rugby union stars to try and help bring it to the masses, because it's, you know, hyper-masculine sport, it's meant to be a masculine thing, but the statistics on it is actually quite frightening of how many people do pass away with testicular cancer. It's always a mouthful.
Put your teeth back in here, drop
a mouthful for me. the Bradford Bulls at this point in time are selling the underpants up in the store themselves, and in the on the underpants package it actually has an example and diagrams of how you can check yourself. So I think it's cheeky, it's tongue-in-cheek. Obviously, it's of serious nature, but it's great that we can have a laugh about it and break down that stereotype about it, don't you think?
I don't think men in general, we don't show, we speak about it all the time, rugby league players don't show the weakness, you don't.
We're not supposed to.
No, and you don't.
It's ingrained in us, isn't it?
It is.
Cultured.
I just think men in general, you don't go to the doctor if you feel something. As a bloke, you just, you know, you don't feel something. So I think it's a fabulous way of actually getting people to actually... Go for
and the statistics are absolutely amazing. If you catch it early enough, it's like an 80% recovery rate on it. So that's why it's so important, is making sure that you're keeping updated with your checks, even if you're just checking yourself, and making sure if you do find something, you go along to your doctors and you make sure that you get checked out, because if we catch it early enough, there's an 80% chance that you will recover from it.
Well, I'm the kind of person that leave it to the last minute. Like, I'm really scared.
Don't say that.
I'm just honest. I'm just telling you the truth. Gosh. Like, I'd leave it until we're in absolute... Yeah. I've got a good friend of mine, Julian Haddock. He's the opposite. If he's got a little bit of a... I don't know. I'm going to doctors. There's something deadly wrong with me. Definitely. I'm going blind. I can't see. He's like, every 2 minutes. But,
and you would wait for you. You're completely blind, aren't you?
Yeah.
Great chance.
I'd wait until I couldn't walk out, get off my seat at home.
All right, let's talk about the biggest upset in Challenge Cup history, or in recent history anyway, and that is Super League's Hull KR losing to recently promoted from League One Championship side Oldham. Leon, what is going down in Humberside?
It's crazy.
Score was 22 points to 36. Rovers chairman Neil Hudgel has promised to, and I quote, smoke out what he describes as dishonest people in the club. And let me just read a little quote that he made post-match. Ordinarily, I keep things in-house, but today it was a step too far. My thoughts are with our fans who have been embarrassed and shortchanged. They spend money following us and can ill afford to and deserve way better. Apologies are not enough. Action to Trump. Has to trump words, too many cheap words, too many people who haven't bought into what we are trying to deliver. We have dishonest people in our club and they will be smoked out. Those are hard words.
Listen, it's hard for me because I still live in Bradford and I travel to Hull. You don't get all the press and the feeling and the mood of what's going on. But I spoke to a couple of our coaching staff today and they just say it is bad at the moment. The boys are getting hammered in the press. They're being put on a ban from speaking to the press, but being put on a ban from drinking, going out in town. So them guys are
for their own safety, it sounds.
Massively, yeah. They're under the pump massively. I just think it just seems ever since they got the high Wembley, it's just been a bit of a...
Well, I think that's something that we need to bring up. Yeah. For those of you who don't know and aren't familiar with the Challenge Cup competition, Hull KR were last year's finalists. They did take a bit of a pumping. I think it was one of the biggest pumpings in the Challenge Cup history. But they were a finalist. They didn't make it all the way there.
But let's be fair, they were rubbish before that final anyway. I mean, I thought they were... Who'd have thought they were even there? You know, the league form were rubbish before that. They actually just went on a good cup run. So actually, I don't know if it's... Obviously, there might be a slight hangover from that bad game. Because, I mean, let's be fair. You go, it's your hopes, your ambition, your childhood ambitions to go and play at Wembley. Put on a good show and get pumped like that must be so demoralising. But they were going rubbish in the league before that. So I don't think that was something new. Mm-hmm.
And they've been struggling this year as well, haven't they?
Yeah, but they've had Campese out for nearly the full season. He's only played one game. Massive player from Sean Lund, massive player from Mount for nearly all the season.
Only been back the last couple of games.
Albert Kelly with a player of the year last year. He's not really done anything this year. He's not really...
another one who's picked up injuries as well.
Yeah, another one has picked up injuries. So, you know, they're three massive, massive players for him. And then obviously got their other signing, so...
But even so, even without them players, let's be fair, the money that they spend compared to Oldham, I've seen the lads...
Oh, yeah, I know that, yeah, 100%.
We're affiliated with Oldham. They say it's like all lads that go there on you know, dual reg, say it's like being an amateur club. They throw the shorts and socks and everyone just dives into the middle because sometimes there's not enough shorts and socks left. Or you get XXXL as a scrum half and things like that, so...
2016 Professional Rugby League,
eh? Yeah, but to go there and to lose to Oldham, I just think from a sub-league side is awful. But I'm all for, I just love it when a Challenge Cup upset comes. And that's why I think there should be no seeded teams. I think that's why it should be open for everyone. Just so we get more shocks and other teams get a go at the Challenge Cup. I think it's been great for Challenge Cup.
But even with the seeding, it can prove that the magic of the Cup can happen. But where does this leave James Webster as a coach? Obviously, Chris Chester got sacked, taken charge of Wakefield Trinity Wildcats. They have won the last four games on the bounce underneath his leadership. Yeah. Where does that leave James Webster?
You're talking about the wrong person, Robert. James Webster, none of these are his signings. What are we talking about James Webster for?
You know what I mean? Well, he's a coach, but
if we're going to sit here and slag James Webster...
We're not slagging anyone off, Liam.
I'm saying if we're going to have a little bit of a go at him, then it would be fair enough if he's had 2 or 3 years of planning a team and they were all his signings and what have you, but they're not. He's coming at dire straits. He's a club legend, who's a massive player for Hull KR. And the players that he's been given, they're the players that have been signed by other people.
Okay, does this prove then that maybe sacking of Chris Chester wasn't the right thing to do?
Well, I don't know. I mean, he's doing an extremely good job at Wakefield. You know, from the flip side of what Leon's saying, he has gone there and rejuvenated that side, hasn't he? And he's got the best out of them players. So, yeah, maybe we've got to look at, you know, actually who's making the signings in the first place. You know, was it Chris Chester who made the signings or was it the board? I suppose unless you're in that boardroom and in that environment, you don't really know who's accountable and who's at fault. But
all right, well, just quickly move on to one of our mates, baptism of fire for Jamie Peacock.
Yeah,
it's a baptism of fire for JP.
It is, yeah, but especially where he's come from Bradford Bulls, doing, what did he do, 7 or 8 years at Bradford Bulls, then going to Leeds and having, you know, even topping his Bradford Bulls career there, and he's in England international, Great Britain international, England captain. You know, he's had a bit of a... He couldn't have got much better of a career than what JP's had. So then to go to a club that starts struggling under kind of your format that you're trying to instill within that club, then it'll be a massive challenge for him and something that he'll be probably not used to.
But something also at the same time is that, you know, you say that you learn your best lessons during adversity. He's never been in a business context, having to deal with the sort of PR issues that the club's having to deal with at this point in time. Obviously, he's an important player. He'll be learning, I'm guessing.
I think, yeah, well, you do. You learn from your mistakes generally, don't you, in that sport. I thought than anything else is he was brought there to change the culture. And that's not something that happens overnight. Culture is something that needs to grow, and it sort of grows from the ground up. You goes through your youth, it goes through your first team. And, you know, he's been thrown this his first year within that group. You know, he can't change a culture within a year. No. I think it's going to take a little while for him to really stamp his authority.
And the majority of those signings were also in place before JP actually got involved.
Yeah, but I've been thinking, talking about today at training as well. Does it seem to you guys that at the moment in Super League, there seems much more pressure on coaches to get results? I don't know why it is, but the pressure seems...
It's a new system.
...on a different level. And this guy's getting sacked. A lot quicker than usually.
Because it's the new format. The new format dictates this pressure on. Back in the day, Leeds could go rubbish and come seventh or whatever they did and win it.
And win it.
It's nuts. They could nearly lose more games than they won throughout the regular season and still win the grand final. It'd be a successful year. Now, if you're not in that top four early doors, the pressure's on. You know, you're out the door if you're not...
Well, it's all down to promotion and relegation, isn't it? You know, and that's the thing now. And that puts you under pressure from round one, round two, round three. Whereas, like you say, 100% what you're saying, you could get to end of season. We've won it from third, haven't we?
Yeah.
Bradford Bulls.
Leeds
won it from fifth. So it didn't really matter, but now it really does matter, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And you don't have the safety net of the franchise, the licensing system anymore. It's all now do or die.
I'm going to say that basically Dennis Spector spoke about how he's grown as a team and as a club, and it was the franchise system that allowed him to do that, allowed to bring young lads through, and then you're really seeing the fruits of it now, like Joe Mellor and all them players, whereas if the franchise system weren't there, no chance would they be in.
It's a web. Everything's interconnected, isn't it? All right, up next, we discuss a changing perception of the Catalan Dragons. All this and more after the break on the Robbie Hunter-Paul Show.
Big names and big stories from the world of rugby league. This, the Robbie Hunter-Paul Show on Pulse One.
Kia ora, Robbie Hunter-Paul here, and I'm with Leon Price and Lucky Luke Robinson. This coming week, we are running a competition to pick up a Bradford Bulls Summer Bash Oddballs charity shirt. You can check out the Bulls website to see the design and how you can purchase a shirt, or check out pulse1.co.uk and click on the win tab to find out how you can win one for free. Now, before we go on to any of the other hot topics, it's time for this.
The Robbie Hunter-Paul Show, Robbo's Rant.
All right, we got back to that time again. Leon shared his juice, whatever was making him feel good about the sport of rugby league, which was rugby league last week. We've gone full circle, going back to Robbo. We're going to give Robbo the opportunity to speak lyrical about an issue within the game that's getting on his nerves, something that's freaking him out. Robbo, what are you going to talk about today?
I'm going to talk about our inability as a sport to expand the game.
Okay. So he's talking about the growth of rugby league and our inability to grow the game beyond its traditional geographic parameters, I'm guessing. Okay, so the way this works, basically, we're going to give Robbo, we're going to turn to the sound, we're going to get a whistle. Robbo is going to wax lyrical for a full minute, and he's just going to unload. And Robbo, are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, here we go.
Oh, let's go. Wait for a cue. Basically, I'm going to talk about why. Why can't we, if we have the greatest sport in the world, the greatest spectacle, why can't we expand the game beyond the M62 corridor? New Zealand, Australia, they're expanding the game. Why can't we? You know, I don't know if it is their fault. I don't know if Australia, New Zealand, and the NRL in particular view us as a second-class sport, and the international setup, more importantly, as second-class. Are they really throwing all the weight behind? Are the RFL and the Super League and everybody else throwing it? It was only last week that we found out where we're playing as international fixtures was only 5 months ago. Why? Who's accountable? Why aren't we holding people accountable? You know, we speak about it's the greatest sport in the world. Why don't we start holding people accountable? Who's in the roles? What's the strategy of Rugby League as Super League as a whole? To get it out there, to throw it out there. I'm going to throw a curveball at you now. Is it even a social call?
Yeah, the whistle.
Mate, you know what? You lost 10 seconds on the front
whistle,
end.
The whistle,
yeah, well, can I have 10 more seconds?
What were we going to say? You don't need a round
two. Oh, quickly, is it a social class thing? Is it because up the north, all my mates are plumbers, electricians? Down south, you become an editor, you become a corporate, you become money, and your money's involved, and they're involved in the press and the papers, and we're stuck up here in the north, away from the press, away from money.
But the BBC is in the north.
Now,
BBC, yeah, but we don't now, really, but we really don't let BBC in that much. You know,
so is it our fault as a sport? Is it the administration? Can the players be doing more? Can we be exploring this? Because we have tried that before in the past, and maybe the argument is we're throwing all our resources trying to spread the game as far as possible and diluted the impact of what we is. Do we own the North? We don't own the North, do we?
Okay, let's
maybe we focus on something like that.
I've got a good example for you, Robin. Darts. Now, darts is not a good game to watch, really. if we're honest,
people would argue against
right, yeah,
that.
Yeah, people. I'm saying my opinion. Darts compared to rugby league, there's no comparison, right? They've taken darts into a game watched by a couple of 100,000. It's watched by the whole country now. You go on a Thursday night, I think it is, and you go on your Twitter, the whole country's talking about darts. They go to Ireland, they go to Scotland, they go to London.
Why?
The game's massive.
Why?
And that game has now grown into a nationwide massive sport.
Have you been to a darts event?
I have watched it on television.
Television? Robert, have you been to a live
I've been
dance?
To a local one, but I'll be honest, I booked myself in for this July. I'm going to it in Blackpool.
but my point is, Robbie...
Leon sold you on it.
But my point is, Robbie, if we've had a game that produces the magical, amazing moments that we do within our sport, and we can't grow it bigger than we have done in 20, 30, 40 years, how can they get a game of darts and to grow it on a national scale in the space of maybe 5 years?
But you can play darts inside and it's not cold. Maybe we need to consider when we're, you know, because we were talking about it last week. Are we playing too many games? Is it starting too early? It used to be a summer sport.
It used to be
a winter sport. Then we made it a summer sport. But now we're starting in the first week of February.
This is what my rant is. My rant is why we don't seem to make people accountable, or we don't seem to look. All we do is, as a sport, we just walk around and say, greatest sport in the world, greatest sport in the world, everyone should watch it. And that's it. That's where it ends. We don't actually. Like we said off air, Robbie, there's no strategy. What's the strategic point of view from the RFL, from the Super League, from us as players, we need to go somewhere and go, right, this is your job, you're not doing it, or yes, you are.
It's interesting, if you've seen the most recent revolutions in the big major sports, you're probably looking at 2020 cricket. And they've basically, very recently, I was listening to how they developed that, and they described it was created a sport, wasn't cricket, a cricket sport that wasn't cricket for non-cricket liking people. Mm-hmm. And basically it became all about those few hours in the evening, an event. It's all about the experience and the entertainment that you get on there. And I've been to Lancashire versus Yorkshire to 2020 last year. Absolutely brilliant. Another one, Sevens Rugby Union. It's now a global sport. They actually had to put the stoppers, the International Rugby Board had to put the stoppers on it because it was growing too quickly.
Too big.
It was growing beyond the 15-a-side code. How do we compete with those? How do we create something? Or it's got to be about the event and not just the game itself.
Well, I'm a big boxing fan, and I were only joking about darts. I do actually like darts. I'm just messing around. But
are you any good at it?
No, I'm rubbish. But what I'd just like to say, give it to Eddie Hearn. So Eddie Hearn, there you go. You're in charge of RFL. You own rugby league in England. Make it grow like you've done with darts and like you've done with boxing. He's smashing boxing all over the place. He's absolutely smashing it. Boxing, there's a boxing event on every once, at least once a month. He's got Anthony Joshua, he's got all the big guys. Eddie Hearn, take care of rugby league and make us a global sport. I love the passion.
He's got the juice. Well, I think we're getting a bit of a Leon's juice next
Get
week.
Eddie Hearn on the show. Let's give him the job. I've tweeted him already. I've tweeted him before. I said you'd think we're doing a great job.
To be honest, I think the answer isn't one thing. I think it's like the development of the sport. It's a number of things coming together as a group. Before we go too far, let's now talk about a team that is getting it right on the field. Catalans, they pull out a massive performance on the road, beating St. Helens 12 points to 30 last Thursday night. What a performance by Catalans, or vice versa, was it a poor performance by St. Helens?
I don't know. They're doing well, them superstars, aren't they?
They're world class.
Not them Galacticos.
They're actually earning the money, them lads. Look, we've said it a million times on this show. They're a fantastic team. The amount of Australians and New Zealanders that have seemed to have gone to Catalans and probably not produced the best stuff. But as Leon said before, they were good. They had good players in that team, in the past. But now they've got great players, actually fantastic players. It's no surprise to me whatsoever that they're doing so well.
But they've had world-class, fantastic. We're looking at one across the studio from us.
Not as
they've
many.
They've had world-class, fantastic not players before. It's quite interesting. A good friend of yours, hat-trick hero Jody Broughton, he claims that the Catalan team can win the Super League. He's confident of that. But he also pointed out that Glenn Stewart, who is Australian international, one of the most rated players from the NRL, is at the heart of changing that perception around Catalan's defence. And I think that's been the biggest shock we've seen, is how hungry Catalans are on defence whilst they're on the road.
I've seen a few players interviewed within the Catalan side, and they've all said that Stewart's brought a defensive structure that they didn't know before. But he's brought the Manly or whatever he had before. He's brought the Australian, he's brought this defensive structure. Then the Catalans team and the Catalans coach, to be fair, must have bought into it.
Yeah, well, I've been there. Our defensive structure when I was there was absolutely useless. No, it was straight up rubbish. I mean, I could have coached it better than that, probably, the defensive structure. So there were no surprises.
And that's saying something.
Yeah, and I'm not even a coach. I'm just like this world-class player.
I'm only joking.
I'm only joking. But, Robert, for you
guys... You can't pull that back now.
No,
You said it, didn't you?
You said it, I'm a world-class player. I used to be, anyway. So, anyway, what we're saying is for people to speak about it so much, it must have made a massive difference, because you can always tell. When I went to Catalans, we did not but attack. All we worked on, 80% of our training were attack. But anybody who's involved in a game, we all know you don't win games unless you've got a really, really good defence. It's simple as that. Mm-hmm. Facts, done.
And I can only agree. Yeah. St. Helens head coach, Kieran Cunningham, he actually slammed the side's performance. So what are your thoughts on that? The week before, they pick up a win against Warrington, who's sitting top of the table.
He's got a habit of following Nathan Brown, who's going to go down as my greatest coach. But whenever we went through a little bit of a tricky patch, I think he purposely made a point of picking on the older lads. And I want them older lads. And he put the emphasis on, I think he tried to take the sort of heat off the younger lads, and that's what Kieran did after the game. If you actually listen to his interviews and when he spoke to the press afterwards, he said there's a lot of senior blokes in there that haven't pulled their weight. But you've got to be extremely careful as a coach to do that, because obviously if you lose the senior players, mm-hmm. then there's only mm-hmm. one way you're going. But I think he's got that much respect, Kieran, within that group and within it. Like you say, he's got a stature outside. I think he's just trying to call on his senior players to up the game.
Right, St Helens is a massively proud rugby league area that's been built and brought up on success of winning Challenge Cups and winning Super Leagues. Played there for 6 years, been coached by the best players, played with the best players. They expect to win. The pressure on them boys were massive. The fans are not happy. They're losing games. They don't look good. They're not playing good rugby. Most of them are okay if they're playing good rugby and losing, but they're not doing either, really. And the results aren't speaking for the club that they are.
All right, well, good news on its way for St Helens as they are set to welcome back Johnny Lomax, who's been out injured, it seems, for the last 3 years, and also Taliavea, who's a massive go-forward man and defensive player for them. All right, coming up after the break, we'll discuss the hottest matches of the weekend, including picking the winner for last week's Freak of Nature hoodie competition. All that coming up next on the Robbie Hunter Paul Show.
Whatever the story, we've got it covered. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse One.
All right, welcome back to the Robbie Hunter Paul Show. We're continuing on with the hottest topics in the sport, and we'll also look forward to the hottest matches of the round. Hey, actually, this is a great opportunity to pick a winner for last week's Freak of Nature hoodie. And I think we do have a winner, and I'm going to hand over to producer Ewan, because Jakey the Muss is off skiving with a job. I think he's got himself a job.
Well, I feel a bit under pressure now, Jake's not here. Stepping into some big shoes here. Big shoes
to fill.
Right, okay, so just so you know, about 60% of people wanted this signed.
Okay.
But the winner didn't
drop.
I told you!
That dropped because it was 80% last week.
So they didn't want it signed, no?
This winner does not want it signed. No. But a lot of people did. But the winner is Neil Sutcliffe.
Congratulations.
I know Neil Sutcliffe. I know him.
Do you?
Yeah.
Fix.
Oh, it's fixed.
I did not hear that.
I grew up on the same street as him all my life.
Well, it's probably from a popular name.
Popular View. Neil Sutcliffe from
Popular
View.
Mate, you can't read out his address.
Is it right? Am I right?
You can't read out his
address. It's a different one. Has he got ginger hair?
He didn't send in a picture of him.
Well, it's on Bradford. It's same name, isn't it?
But you got to imagine that there'd be more than one Neil Sutcliffe.
All right,
well,
maybe wrong. I'm just saying, I think I know him. Bear in mind, I don't know half the people of Bradford.
You know more than half the people of Bradford. All right, this coming week, we're running a competition to pick up the Bradford Bulls Summer Bash Oddballs charity shirt. Hey, Ewan, do we have that advert set and ready to go? Can we play that? We'll give them 2 minutes. You can check out the Bulls website to see the design, see the video that they've put together, and you can also purchase the shirt. Or you can check out the pulse1.co.uk and click on the win tab and find out how you can win one for absolutely free. I bought one in. Boys, what do you reckon? Looking good?
Oh, it's really good, yeah.
Yeah, it does.
Quite a bit of fun, isn't it?
It looks a bit odd, but it looks good, yeah.
Well, that's the whole point, isn't it? Yeah. I was thinking of running a competition if we could get a sound bit done up there. Every time we said the word balls, a ding went on in the background. I think we're ready now. Ewan, we ready? Oh, we've got a bar. It's too late now. So play the first part of the advert.
Each year in the UK, around 2,300 men are diagnosed with testicular cancer. Testicular cancer is the most common type of cancer to affect men between the ages of 15 and 49. Things change, people change, seasons change, the statistics may change. The one thing that will never change, our fight against cancer.
That's the Bradford Bulls captain there, Adrian Patel, just playing his part in the promotion of this new charity shirt. So the Summer Bash, guys, what are your thoughts on that? Obviously, like the Magic Weekend, where you have all the championship teams in one stadium. Good idea.
In Blackpool, it's an amazing idea. I want to go and play in that. I want to go and play in that before my career.
You're retired, man.
In Blackpool, I've had some of the best nights out in Tower Lounge. Everyone's been to the Tower Lounge, whatever age you are. Feet stick to the floor. It's pitch black. You forget what time it is in the day. I just think, what an amazing... Cheap hotels, you know, you're not... Fans are having to fork out 100 quid for an hotel. It's 12 quid with bed and breakfast. Laughing.
Listen, there's no greater place on earth than Blackpool. I went to Australia in 2006. Them reporters tried to tell me that Bondi were better than Blackpool. I said, get away with you. Blackpool's awesome. I can't think of a better place for it. Smashes them horses.
All right, ladies and gents, once again, if you want to find out how you can win that shirt, just go to pulse1.co.uk and click on the win tab. And also, if you just want to see how you can purchase one of them, you can check out the Bradford Bulls website at bradfordbulls.co.uk. All right, let's have a look forward to this weekend's matches. Big weekend this weekend. There's some great games going on. Thursday night, Wigan host your boys, Robbo, the Giants. Mate, can you guys make it two games on the bounce against Big Gun?
Fingers crossed.
You are a big gun. The Giants are a big gun.
You'd like to think the last few years we've we've been top four for the last 4 or 5 years, wouldn't it? You'd like to think we broke into that category. But we want to take some confidence into it. And I think I got all my predictions right last week. I think I did, didn't I?
Every single one?
Yeah, I think I did.
I can't remember them.
I wish I had a bet on it now. I can't bet. I don't know if I'm inside information.
You're not allowed to, that's right.
But fingers crossed, we can take a little bit of confidence that, we gained from, let's be fair, a really good Warrington side. Although they had Sandow missing, big loss for them. We played really good rugby and we played the conditions exceptionally well.
Leon, Wigan bounced back against the humiliating defeat against Wakefield 2 weeks ago, 62 points to nil. And then they bounced back to beat Castleford last weekend. How do you see this game going? Obviously, a big win for the Giants at home, keeping Warrington at zero. I think that's a big call as well.
Yeah, it is a big call. I think Wigan, out of everybody, have probably struggled mostly with the injuries. They've still got a lot of boys in there in the physio room. So it's going to be a good game, probably with the confidence that Huddersfield can take out of the win against Warrington. It'll make for an exciting game.
Looking forward then, one night on from that, you've got St. Helens taking on Leeds. Leon, your boys, close loss to Leeds last weekend. How disappointing was that for Hull FC?
I think it was a massive missed opportunity. I think the weather conditions evened the game up a lot. It was raining, horrific rain. But at the same time, teams like Leeds, when you're struggling, they find a way to bounce back, and they did so. So you've got to give credit to them boys. But we definitely, at Hull, felt as though it was a missed opportunity.
You're now missing a lot of you missed a lot of opportunities during the game. I think you must have punched about five or six holes in the Leeds defense, but you weren't able to capitalize on it.
Yeah, well, our support play was down. That's what we've been talking today in training, and you know, probably a big part was Jamie Shaw missing. He was injured as he's playing, mm-hmm. having a standout season so far for us. So, you know, your fullback. I'm not blaming Noggers who I travel with, but your fullback. Charlotte's fastest, one of the fastest players in Super League. So, you know, even that kick that Jordy Thompson did through at the end, he'd score that.
Yeah.
So we missed Jamie on the night. But also, all through the team, our support was down, which we'll be working on this week.
Okay, to both of you then, let's have a look at that Friday night game, which it is St. Helens taking on Leeds. Obviously, big words, harsh words from St. Helens about his team, saying they need to pull their fingers out. In Leeds, in the other respect, you know, they've got that one win that they were desperate to get a hold of. Where do you see this game going? Remember, it is at Langtree Park.
Yeah, it's a tricky one, really, because obviously Saints haven't been playing the greatest rugby. As Leon said before, they haven't been playing pretty rugby on the back of it. They've not only been losing games, but not playing well either. And, you know, I think Leeds, we spoke about it in previous weeks, they have quality personnel within their ranks, quality. And when they actually start putting it together and start playing good rugby, they're going to be a formidable force. But with it being at St. Helens, I might just go St. Helens just.
Leon?
Yeah, me too. I mean, I watched Leeds last week quite closely. I don't think they were very impressive, even though they still beat us. So you're probably going with two teams that are around about the same kind of form level at the moment. But I've been to St. Helens Stadium, and there's pressure, massive, massive pressure on them players. The club and the fans expect so much, and I don't know if they've got the squad that can deliver what they're used to.
Leon, you guys are travelling to Wakefield, or is it Wakefield coming to you?
We're going to Wakefield.
Well, you're going to Wakefield
on Sunday.
Wakefield have won their last four games on the bounce. You guys had won your last five games on the bounce leading up to that Leeds loss. First question, are you playing? Are you back fit?
The Messiah returns.
I think you've won a legend before.
No, I'm not looking for... Well, I am looking... I'm really, really, really looking forward to it, but I'm not looking forward to that first 10 minutes when lungs are going to be...
Yeah,
bursting.
What is it about that first 10 minutes?
Oh, it's obviously, awful,
that
isn't it?
Seems
it's
like
awful.
The hardest, and then
it's
you get your second win.
Second win comes and you're okay. But yeah, I'm back this week. I've been out 6 weeks. I really, really can't wait. I'm looking forward to it, getting back on field and earning my money.
You know what I used to find hardest, actually, on game day? The warm-up.
Yeah, I hate warm-ups. I hate warm-ups. And the conditions always try to tell you what to do that makes you feel better. It doesn't make me feel better. Doing that does not make me prepared for a game. Okay. It just makes me tired and more nervous.
You were a sick man, weren't you, Rob? We were sick. There's quite a few sickers in the oldest field. Spuggy was. I was.
I had Spuggy, who was sat next to me. This is Chris Thorman. And he was sat next to me, and then he'd start, and that set me off. And yeah. You had to empty your stomach before you could play. I hope you're not at home.
Big Joe like that, wasn't
it? Oh, no, and just make... You know what? That didn't happen for me until Joe joined the Bulls.
No, it's horrible.
When Joe started doing that, it loosened my stomach. And then for the rest of my career, if I didn't throw up, I didn't play well.
That'd be an idiosyncrasy that you had then, though, wouldn't it? Because all players have them. You know, like Malcolm, if he put his left boot on and had a good game, he'd always have to put his left boot on from
first.
That moment, from the rest of his career.
Oh, yeah, but Malk was a crank, wasn't
he? Well, he was a crank. But Paul Wright and his best mate once rang up before a game, so he had a good game. So the ritual was, Aito had to ring him up. But Aito... Oh, no, so Malk rang Aito, but Aito must have been on the toilet and couldn't get to the toilet. So Malk drove 7 miles to his house and went in the other grid. Answer your phone and drove back
like
to his house.
Said, he's a crank. I love Mal. I love Mal.
Yeah, rang him back up just so I could say hello. Yeah, done.
Absolutely brilliant. Quickly, Widnes will host Warrington. Warrington need to find their form once again. They're missing Chris Sandow, though, aren't they?
Yeah, I don't know if Widnes on that. Is it on the high pitch, you know, that dodgy pitch? I don't know if...
you love that high pitch.
Yeah, I do love the high pitch. I think on that dodgy pitch, I think Widnes just might edge it.
I'm going Widnes.
You're going Widnes?
Yeah.
Okay, and Catalans will be at home to Salford. Another big one?
Without doubt, Catalans are going to smash them.
with that NRL team, if they're fully a funny NRL Super Galactico team, we'll go Catalan.
And I've got to back the Bulls this week in the championship. It's a bit of a downer of a round, but the Bulls have had a week off. They're playing Workington, who's sitting at the bottom of the table. So it's a big game for the Bulls, obviously, with Jimmy stepping away. And that's it for us tonight, guys. Thank you very much for being on the show. Big thanks to you all. Wherever you are listening tonight, Total Access is next here on Pulse One. So enjoy your lives, love your families, and remember to live your rugby.
This is the Robbie Hunter Pool Show on Pulse One. Wednesday evening from 6.